Today's daf is daf Zion in Horios. We did good yesterday. We are in the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph, and we're going to start Tanur Rabbanan, which is three lines from the bottom of the Amud. The information that we've been seeing over the past couple of days, which we need in order to set ourselves up, is just some of the basic opinions in terms of the Par Helam Davar. Par Helam Davar, the Ethan comes out with an incorrect ruling, an erroneous ruling, and the majority of the Jewish people follow that ruling, so the Torah tells us that there needs to be a carbon that is brought, which is referred to as a Par Helam Davar. It's found in Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, Perek Dalet. We went through the Pesukim already together. There are three basic opinions that we need to know. Opinion number one is Reb Meir. Reb Meir says essentially this is a carbon of the Beis Din. Beis Din has to bring this carbon, right? And therefore, according to Rebbe Meir, you look at the Jewish people as a totality. You do not subdivide amongst the tribes. And if the Jewish people, population, the majority of the Jewish people, sinned on account of Beis Din's ruling, so therefore Beis Din needs to bring this carbon. So according to Reb Meir, this is essentially a carbon of Beis Din. Okay, that's opinion number one. On the other side, you have Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says no, that this is really more about the tribes. This is more about the Shvatim. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda subdivides every tribe as its own individual unit, its own kal. Every tribe, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is considered a kal. Yesterday we went over the Pesukim that indicate that each shevet is considered a kahal. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you look at each tribe individually, and if each tribe individually has sinned, again, we look at every tribe, we have to send the majority of every tribe, so then every tribe, therefore, is responsible to bring a carbon. There is a concept of Rabbi Yehuda that we referred to yesterday as Gerera, which means that as long as you have one tribe who sins, the other tribe need to bring carbonus as well, but they're nigrar, they're dragged along together with the one tribe that sinned. I mentioned yesterday the Rambam, Pasans like Rabbi Yehuda, so this is not really a carbon of Beis Din, it's more carbon of the people. Okay. The Gemara entertained the question yesterday, and the conclusion of the Gemara yesterday is that even if one tribe sinned, all other tribes need to bring a carbon. Okay. And finally, there's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is a blend. Rabbi Shimon is a blend between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon says yes and yes, meaning it is both a Beis Din, a function of Beis Din, and it's a function of the people as well. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon comes to the conclusion, as we saw back in the Mishnah a couple days ago, that if you have a scenario where all the Jewish people are sitting on account of the erroneous ruling of a Beis Din, there are going to be 13 Par Helam Davars, one for each tribe, which brings us to the number 12, and one of Beis Din, which brings us to the number 13. Good. This is all the background information. Keep everything in mind. Tanur Rabbanan, we start now three lines as the lines become wide on Vav Amud Aleph. Meisachem and Etzibur Chayavin. So look, if let's say you have a scenario where we're eligible for Par Helam Davar, Beis Din came out with a ruling, majority of people followed it, and then one of the members of the community died. So, okay, that's not going to affect the Par Helam Davar. Still, the Par Helam Davar needs to be brought. Echem mi Beis Din, but if a member of Beis Din dies, Peturin. So then there's going to be an exemption, an excuse, right? You will be excused from having to bring the Par Helam Davar, period. That's the end of the Braisa. From here until the end of the Perek, the Gemara is going to be addressing really one fundamental question, and a number of tangential issues come up as well. But it's really one fundamental question is Mantana. Who's the author of this Braisa? Meaning, let's go back to what we just saw. We have Reb Meir. We have Rabbi Yehuda, those are our two extreme positions, and then we have the blend of Rabbi Shimon. So I'm Rav Chista, I'm Rav Zera, I'm Rav Yirmiyah, I'm Rav, Rabbi Meir. Okay, so it would seem that this Braisa is authored by Rav Meir, and that really does seem to be the most logical approach in this Braisa. Rav Meir, the Amr Beis Din Mevi'im Velo Tzibur. Because remember, Rav Meir says that this carbon is principally a Beis Din carbon. You need all the members of Beis Din in order to bring this carbon. Look, if one of the members of the community dies, it's sad, it's not negligible, but in terms of the Par Helam Davar, it's not going to affect the Par Helam Davar, because this is not a carbon of the people. This is a carbon of Beis Din. So if one of the members of the community died, but Beis Din, really it's Beis Din's erroneous ruling that we're focusing on. They came out with a ruling, majority of people follow the ruling, so of course Beis Din's still going to have to bring it. Meis echad mi Beis Din peturin. But if the member of Beis Din dies, so now, no longer eligible to bring. Why? to have lechatzu shemeis echem and shutfim or mishum hachib peturim. So the Gemara says because what we do is we view the parhelim davar as really owned and operated by Beis Din. It's a partnership. Every member of Beis Din has share in the karbon. And if one of the members of Beis Din die, so now you have a scenario where you have a karbon chatas, because that's what essentially it is. It's a unique karbon chatas, but it's a karbon chatas where one of its principal owners died, and therefore you don't bring it. It's what we call chatas shemeis ba'alaha, chatas where the owner died. Here it's not 100% ownership, it's only a minority shareholder, but it doesn't matter. He is a shareholder, and therefore you don't bring the karbon. Good.
That's a general rule?
Yes. Yeah, correct.
When is there a chatas where there should be?
Right. In other words, outside.
I understand that your person could have an right. Above that shofet.
Right. So the Gemara is going to suggest later on Yom Kippur for the Kohanim. The Kohanim, their carbon they bring on Yom Kippur is considered a shofet. The Gemara is going to entertain that.
If one Kohen dies, every year a Kohen dies.
Okay. So, right. It would come out. That conclusion would come out.
So, based on Rabbi Yehuda,
then it doesn't matter.
No, it shouldn't bring it because that one person is also an owner of this.
Right, because it's more a carbon of the people. But when it comes to the people,
right.
It's interesting, and we'll
it's carbon
and,
keyboard,
right,
it's carbon.
Right. It's in other words, there's a difference between, and this is a subtlety. There's a difference between a carbon owned by a partnership. Versus a carbon owned by community. Community is more like a corporation. Right?
Why would we consider the Beit Din as a partnership and the Sibur not?
Right. I guess because we can identify each member. In other words, they are not a community. Okay? It's not a great answer, but it's the way the Gemara is viewing it. Okay. So, start off with the Braisa this morning. Braisa said that if one of the members of Beis Din dies, you don't bring the Karpar Halam Dover. And the Gemara says it is reflective of Rav Meir's viewpoint, because Rav Meir holds that if one of the partners die, you don't bring the Karban Chatas. And this is analogous to that. It's one of the partners dying. Maskevla Rav Yosef and Nukmek Rabbi Shimon. Look, you don't have to leave Rav Shimon out of this discussion. Because remember, Rav Shimon is our blend. He feels that it's both a carbon of Beis Din and a carbon of the people. So from Rav Shimon's standpoint, doesn't he... Good, so he's a blend position. But he does subscribe to the idea that it is Beis Din's carbon, as well as the people's. And if it's Beis Din's carbon, and one of the members of Beis Din die, so we should be unable to bring it. Why are you limiting the Braisa to Rav Meir? It would seem to be that Rav Shimon would also subscribe to this viewpoint as well. Look, and if one of the members of the Tzibur dies, so there is no such thing as Misa when it comes to a community. But Meis Echam Beis Din Peturim Kedamrin and Dechata Shutfim. Good. So why don't we assigning that Braisa to Rabbi Shimon? Good question. And the Gemara now is going to start off with its answer. And from here until the end of the Perek, again, with side points, the Gemara is essentially now going to answer, how come this Bryson is not going like Rabbi Shimon? So, Amalei Abayi Shamin Lele Rabbi Shimon Damer Chata Shutfa Min Emesa Detanya. I'll tell you why. Because I know, based on other sources which we're going to go through, that Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to this idea. He says that if a carbon is owned by a shared partnership and one of the partners die, the carbon is not put to death, but rather the carbon is brought nevertheless. Because he's only a minority shareholder, there still is a majority of shareholders that are still alive and well, and therefore the carbon is going to be brought. Ditanya, and I says, and how do I know that? Because look at the following braisa. Parvisir Shayama Kippurim Sha'avdu. Okay, so we have a bull and we have a goat that are offered on Yom Kippur. Okay? And what happened? So strange, we lost it. We lost our bull, we lost the goat. We don't know what happened to it. I know it's Yom Kippur, like that's crazy, but it happened. And v'hifrish achreim tachteim. And so what we did is we set aside another bull and another goat, and we offered the second bull and the second goat, and then we found the lost ones. What do we do with the lost ones that we found? Yemusu kulam divrei Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, this is chatas shenizkapru ba'aleha ba'acheres. This is a carbon chatas which we didn't need anymore because it was supplanted. And once replaced, there's nothing you could do with it. You have to let it die. This is one of the five carbon chatuses that are left to die. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Don't focus on that. Focus on this. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Yiru. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no. The animals that you lost and now found, and you don't need them anymore, so you know what you do with them? You let them graze, develop a blemish, and then redeem them. You don't have to let them die. Why? Lefishein chata sibra mesa. Because chata sibra is not put to death. Meaning, it's true. A chatas of an individual, it's no longer needed, have to let it die. Chatas of a tzibur, that doesn't have to die. Okay, good. Now, what the Gemara now is suggesting, okay, because this is what I mentioned just a moment ago, is that we're talking about the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur. Now, the goat of Yom Kippur is for the Jewish people. Table that. Okay, let's not discuss that. What we're going to focus now is the bull of Yom Kippur. Now, the bull of Yom Kippur is brought for whom? It's brought for the Kohanim. The Gemara at this point in time is saying, you know what that is? That's a carbon of partnership. And you see that Rabbi Shimon says that even though it's not needed anymore, nevertheless the animal's not left to die. In other words, we don't apply the rule of chatas of chatas shemesa. Or in this case, it's not chatas shemesa ba'aleha. It's chatas shenizkapru ba'aleha ba'acheres. But for every one of the five chatases that are left to die, they're all treated the same. Meaning it's the same halacha consistently through all five of them. And as Rashi points out over here, if Rabbi Shimon is telling us that this animal, which we no longer need because we replaced it, if this animal is not left to die, then if the owner of such an animal were to die, this animal is not left to die. That is the argument that the Gemara is constructing. So again, it's a little complicated. We have a par of Yom Kippur. The Gemara now is viewing this par, this bull, as a partnership of all the Kohanim, and Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint is that even though I don't need this animal anymore, you don't have to let it die. It's a carbon chatas, but it's a carbon chatas owned by a partnership, and the Gemara therefore is extrapolating, well, if that's true, then if one of the owners died, then the animal doesn't have to die. Okay, that is the Gemara's argument.
So what happens with that by Tirshval's point that every year a coin would die?
Okay.
During a year, so.
Fine. Okay, give me a moment. Let the Gemara play this one out. So I'm Rav Yosef Kohanim Kamart. So Rav Yosef says, okay, I see what your argument is, but I disagree with you on one basic premise. Shani Kohanim Dikru Kahal. You view the Kohanim as a partnership. I don't agree. I view the Kohanim as a community. Right? It's not the Kohanim, the group of Kohanim are not partners over the carbon. It's communal. They're a community over the carbon. And so therefore they're given the status of a community, and that's why it's not subject to the rules of Chatash Shemesa, Chatash Niskapru Ba'ala Ba'acheres. It's not subject to those rules. Not because they're a partnership, but because they're a community. Now the Gemara gets on to discuss. The Kohanim.
Between these two?
No, because
that doesn't come in the Trumas Elishah.
Correct. The Kohen pays for it. Kohen pays for it.
Every single Kohen pays.
I think the Kohen Gadol pays for it out of his own pocket. It's not. So it's not brought by the Trumas Elishah.
So how is it a partnership if the Kohen Gadol pays?
Because he's bringing on the Chiper Bado Vead Beso Vead Kol.
Yes, but
the
other partners are not confused.
Okay, so, but he's bringing on behalf of the Kohanim. Right? I'm not doing a good job quoting the Pesukim, but he's bringing it on behalf. States pretty clearly in the Pesukim, it's him for the Kohanim.
I would have thought that's enough
community. Right. V'chiper v'hikriv Aaron is parachatas ashelo. V'chiper ba'ado v'ad beisov v'shachar is parachatas ashelo. It's his carbon, and he brings it on behalf of the Kohanim. Okay, fine. All right. Good. All right. So the Gemara says that's the point I disagree with you about. It's not a partnership. Kohanim are not a partnership. They're a community. They're tzibur. Now the Gemara says, is this true? Shanikondi krukal dechsiv. Well, first of all, before we challenge, support, dechsiv, el ha-kohanim ve'kolam. The pasuk says the kohanim and the congregation. And Rashi says this is, I'm sorry, yechapir. And Rashi points out that this is considered a hekesh, where you see in this pasuk, we talk about kohanim, we talk about kahal, and it's funny, you could have gone the other way, right? You could have said, oh, you see kohanim are not a kahal, but Rashi says it's a hekesh, and you see that kohanim are treated like a people. So the Gemara says, Ela, nice, my ameata, nicely par behara. Oh, really? So you're backing up now into the position that kohanim are at Sibor, their community. Okay, so if that's true, so now let's go back to par helam davar. In a classic case of par helam davar, now not the Reb Meir position, because remember, from his perspective, it's only a beis din, but according to Rabbi Shimon and according to Rabbi Yehuda, so now you're telling me kohanim are their own independent community. And that would therefore mean they'd have to bring a carbon to par helam davar. Now v'chite ma'achinami. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's wrong? So go with that conclusion. Gemara says, not so fast. Tafe lehu shvatim. Problem is, our number is too big. Our number is too excessive. Rashi points out over here, look, we know what Rabbi Shimon says because he said it back in the Mishnah. In a worst case scenario, how many pars need to be brought? So we learned back in the Mishnah, the magic number is 13. What, remember, Rabbi Shimon's a blend. One for the Beis Din, and 12 for the Shvatim. If what you're telling me is that the Kohanim are considered community, so you got to add one more. But the Mishnah doesn't. The Mishnah says 13 is your maximum. So the Gemara says, Hachinam tafalu Shvatim, Ela mervacha b'rei de Rav Yaakov, shifto shalevi lo ikrei kahal. So Rav Acha b'rei Rav Yaakov disagrees fundamentally with this position. Levi is not a community. Shevet Levi, and by extension, of course, Kohanim as well, because Kohen is only subdivision in Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi is not considered a community. They're not a kahal. Dichsiv, and I know that based on what Yaakov told his kids.
Isn't it because they were dedicated to
Hashem? Right. Yaakov says, right, we're back in Parshas Vayechi. We are in Pasuk Dalet. Now the Gemara doesn't quote the rest of the Pasuk, but you got to read the rest of the Pasuk. It's important to understand where the Gemara's point is driving at. And the Pasuk goes on to say, you who get land are considered kahal. Right? And the Gemara makes this point. Okay, good. So they don't get land. And Levi doesn't get land. They do get certain cities and communities, but they don't get achuza. They don't have a land that they transfer from one family to the next generation.
But so
the city's fine, but that's not a that's partitioned for the Levium, but that's not a chuzah. That's not an inheritance. When a Levi dies, he doesn't say, okay, now you're my next generation, you're going to get this land.
What about the land around the city, though?
No.
It was like
right. And so, she'en lo chuzah lo ikur kahal. Good. So now, Levi is not considered a kahal, and the Gemara derives it from the fact that Yaakov said it's linked to a chuzah. And since Levi don't have a chuzah, therefore they're not considered a kahal. Im kain. It's interesting where the Gemara goes now with this next point. Chasre lehu yud beis shvatim. Good. So now we don't have 12. And we know we need to get to number 12 because back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says 13. One for Beis Din and 12 for the tribes. Now everyone in this room knows what the answer is going to be. It's so interesting.
And the pasuk is from Yosef.
Right, right.
Yaakov telling Yosef.
Right. Right. You know what the answer is going to be. Everyone knows what the answer is going to be. It's so interesting. The Gemara has to go through the give and take over here as if we didn't understand. So, Yud Beis Shvatim. So, how do we get to 12? Levi's excluded. So, that only leaves 11 tribes. So, Amar, Abaya, Ephraim, Manasseh, Reuben, Kishim, and Yehuli. So, the Gemara says, yeah, but what we're going to do, as we all know, is we take Yosef and we subdivide. And we subdivide them into two because Ephraim and Manasseh get tribal status. And since they get tribal status, each one is treated like an independent tribe. They each one get their own achuzah in Israel. So therefore, that brings us to the number of 12. So deduct Levi, but include Ephraim and Manasseh. So Amar Rava, v'hatziv al shem acheim yikru b'nachlasam. So Rava says, no, interesting. Rava says, no, I don't do that. Meaning that even though, of course it's true, Ephraim and Manasseh do get status, limited status, says Rava, their ascension to the status of Reuben and Shimon is limited. It's only in terms of getting land. But lanachla hukshu v'lo l'davar acher. But vis-a-vis other halachas, like what? Like what we're talking about right now. Like the par helam davar, they are not treated as individual tribes, but they're viewed as a unit, as Yosef. In other words, so in the world of par helam davar, they're considered Yosef. Okay.
And it means that they wouldn't have a bezdin for the shaman also.
Right.
That's always a function of that.
Correct. It's strange. It's strange.
Correct.
It's right. It's limited. So the Gemara says, "V'lo v'hachalukim b'degalim." The Gemara says, "But wait a second. I can show you other places in Chumash where they are treated as two units, and it's not necessarily linked to land." So the Gemara says, "No, kenachlasam kachaniachsam." So the Gemara says, no. Flags, meaning as they marched through the desert, you're right, Ephraim and Manasseh marched separately. They did not march together. They each one of them had an individual flag. But the Gemara says, but so what? That's not a halacha per se. That's just simply, the Gemara says, that's a function of land. So kenachlasam, kachaniasam. To give honor to the flag, so each flag is really representative of land. The Gemara says, okay, but when Moshe inaugurated the Mishkan, he treated Ephraim and Manasseh as two units. In other words, you go through the Chanukas HaMishkan, you will see Ephraim and Manasseh are treated as two, not as one. And you're telling me that... And you're telling me that that their division, Ephraim and Manasseh, is only land-based, but not vis-a-vis any other halacha? So why would each one of them bring its own karban for the inauguration of the Mishkan? The Gemara says, Moshe did that, but only as a function of kavod. Meaning that it's not a halacha-driven point, it's just that Moshe did not want to take away kavod from any of the tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. Even though Ephraim and Manasseh are limited tribes, right, and limited tribal status, but still Moshe didn't want to take away their covenant. And the Gemara...
Where else are they limited?
Huh?
Where else are they limited besides this?
Besides this halacha parhalam davar?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer off the top of my head.
It doesn't appear to be.
Right. Correct. I keep saying it's so limited, and meanwhile, I don't have another halacha outside of parhalam davar. Okay. Right, but that's a deficiency in me. D'tanya, Shlomo asa zayin yimei Chanukah. Look, when Shlomo made a Beis HaMikdash, he only had 7 inaugural days. That's it. Meaning the Gemara points to Shlomo as saying, look, in terms of Chanukah, in terms of inauguration, your baseline is 7. That's all you need to do. And meanwhile, Moshe made 12 inaugural days. What was that about? So Umara Moshe also Shnema Sayyimei Chanukah. So he's going 5 over what is baseline. So the Gemara says, Kedei Lachlo Kavod L'Nesiim. So clearly Moshe did that just to give kavod, just to give honor to the Nesiim. Okay.
That's a weird question. Yeah. Shlomo
did what? Yeah, question
Shlomo.
Right, but I
Shlomo.
I understand.
Baseline is Moshe, not Shlomo.
Right. Understood. Berachat HaMelachim Shachar Madrom. He did, right, by the way, it's interesting because Shlomo did do 14 days, right? But the Torah describes it as 7 plus 7 because 7 it was Yontif, right? It was Sukkos. And then the 7 afterwards, I guess, are considered the inaugural days. But that is a very good point. Okay. My head is spinning, right? I would imagine yours is as well. Okay, remember, all this discussion, right, we're talking about now comparing inauguration of Shlomo to Moshe, we're far off course. Meaning that really the key question that prompted all this discussion was, we have a scenario where the Braisa says that if one of the members of Basin dies, you don't bring the Parhelm Dov anymore. We certainly know that that's Rav Meir's position, because Rav Meir holds that it is a based in carbon. The Gemara wants to know, how come you won't say it's Rav Shimon as well? And the Gemara says, well, we know because Rav Shimon doesn't subscribe to this idea that if one of the partners dies, the carbon is dispensed with. Rav Shimon maintains that even if one of the partners dies, you still bring the carbon. What we need to do, which we have not yet done, is find a source. How do we know that Rav Shimon holds like that? So that's the next part of the Gemara, and that takes us from here until the end of the Perek. May Havi Allah Tashma Detanya. So the Gemara says, look at the following price. Rav Shimon Omer, Chamish Chatos Mesos. Look, there's five Chatos Mesos, meaning that there are five categories. When we get to Kachim, and especially the end of Kachim, we'll be drilling this point again and again and again. Okay, you'll really get it down well. Five carbon chattas, there's five categories of carbon chattas that need to die. And they are, number one, vlad chattas, meaning chattas gives birth. Chattas, you designated an animal as a carbon chattas. It is pregnant, it becomes pregnant, and it gives and delivers a baby. So what are you going to do with this baby? This baby is a vlad chattas, the fetus of a chattas. You can't just simply bring it as a carbon. Chattas is designated for a particular sin. So what happens to the animal? You let it die. That's one. Two, tamuras chatas. In exchange of a chatas. Tamura is such a strange concept. We'll deal with it, the entire mesechta dealing with the concept of tamura. I try to transfer the kedusha from one carbon to another carbon. The Torah says don't do it, but if you do it, it works. Right? That's the first sugya when we get to mesechta tamura. How does that work? Okay? But the point over here now, just quickly and succinctly, is that if I do that, meaning I take an animal and I transfer the kedusha from one carbon chattas to this animal, this animal now has kedusha's carbon chattas, but doesn't have a sin to bring it for, doesn't represent any particular chait, let it die. Three, chattas shemesu ba'alaha. Let's say you have a carbon chattas where the owner died. The owner of the animal died, the owner now has received a kapara. He has received an atonement. Death is a kapara. What happens to the animal? You let the animal die. Four, chattas shemesu ba'alaha. Let's say you lost the animal, you replace it with another animal, you bring the second animal, you find the lost animal, but you don't need it anymore, you let the animal die. And finally, number five, chatosha v'shnasa, an animal that is over 1 year old, meaning it's no longer eligible to be brought as a carbon chatas, consequently the animal must be left to die. Okay? These are your five chatas amesos, and this is just a brief introduction to them.
So that means how old the animal is?
Yeah.
Besides, why are we wasting? I mean, like letting the animal die is not a waste.
No, because it's not a waste, because the whole idea of Baal Tashkis is when it's unnecessary. Here it's necessary. And the whole idea of Tzar Baal Chaim is only when there's no point. But here there's a point, because...
With the other chatat, it at least goes to the... Part of it goes to the Kohanim, or this and that.
But. Okay, but this is Halach LaMoshe Mesinai. This is...
Is not to be
right. They're not to be tampered with. The iatayocholamar vlad chat. Now, can we take these five categories of chatas amesos and can we transfer to a community? Meaning that we know that there's a chatas for an individual and we know there's a chatas for a community. Are these five applicable for a community? So the Gemara says, look, iatayocholamar vlad chatas betzibor shein tzibor mafrish in the keva. So as far as category number one, an offspring, it doesn't translate to tzibor. Why? It's a gender issue. Because the chata tzibor is a male. Male can't have children. Okay, so it just doesn't... The answer is not applicable. Also, the whole concept of tamur doesn't work by carbon tzibor, based on psukim. Okay? Three. Also, the owner dying, tzibor doesn't die. Right? Tzibor is a community. There's no such thing as death of a community. Okay? But what about categories 4 and 5? They could apply by tzibor, for sure. Meaning the tzibor lost the carbon chatas, replaced it with another carbon chatas, found the lost one. That would work by tzibor. Or number five, the carbon chatas gets over a year old. That would work by tzibor. So look, 1, 2, and 3 don't apply by tzibor. 4 and 5 do apply by tzibor. So, does the halacha of chatos shemesa, does it apply by tzibur? Lo shamanu. So, I don't know. In other words, 4 and 5 could happen by tzibur. I don't know if we apply the halacha. Yacho yamusu, I might think, let the animal die. Amart yomot sasim and amafurish. Mamatzin b'vah chatos tzumot chatos shemesa ba'ala b'yachid dvar mamor v'lo b'tzibur. Afshin is kapur ba'ala v'shafer shalasa b'yachid dvar mamor v'lo b'tzibur. So the Gemara makes an argument, which in a moment I'll point out how strange it is, but the Gemara makes an argument, well, if 1, 2, and 3 don't apply by tzibur, 4 and 5 don't apply by tzibur. Gemara says, what did you just do? V'chi dan in efshar mishi'i efshar? You can't learn from something that's impossible to something which is possible. Meaning you're right, 1, 2, and 3 don't apply by tzibur. Because it can't happen, as we already explained. So if 1, 2, and 3 don't apply by tzibur, you're going to tell me, oh, we learn from there, 4 and 5 don't apply to a tzibur as well. That's the Gemara says we don't make such arguments from cases of impossibility to cases of possibility. So the Gemara gives an answer, Rabbi Shimon Bechad Makom Gamir. Rabbi Shimon, when Gamir over here means Gemara tradition, meaning that Rabbi Shimon, his understanding of the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai is that it's all or nothing. Meaning that in the five categories, either all five categories would apply or none of them would apply. So in this instance, yes. But not because of Dunin, not because we're judging one from the other. It's a package deal. All five categories have to apply, which all of them do of course apply by Yachid. All five don't apply by Tzibur, therefore none of them apply by Tzibur. Period. So you see that according to Rabbi Shimon, he subscribes to this idea that we don't have by Tzibur, we don't have any of the Chatas HaMesos. Okay, good. Period. Hadron Allah Harabethin, that is the end of the first parak. Okay. We start now the second parak. The first parak dealt with Par Halam Davar. The entire Masechta Horios is all about the fourth parak of Sefer Vayikra. Right? Usually we don't think about it much, right? Parshas Vayikra is a difficult parsha. It's all about Karbanos. But all of Masechta Horios is all about the fourth parak of Vayikra. We spent the three parakim in total. We spent the first parak talking about Par Halam Davar. But in Perek Dalet, Par Halam Davar is one of three special karbanos that Perek Dalet speaks about. The first thing that it speaks about is the par, the bull of the Kohen Gadol. What the Torah refers to as the Kohen HaMashiach. Kohen HaMashiach simply because that's how he's anointed. He's anointed with special oil when he becomes the Kohen Gadol. In the end of Perek Dalet of Vayikra, it talks about the Nasi. Nasi over here meaning the king. Okay. There are special halachas for the Kohen Gadol and for the king. If they sin, they don't bring the standard carbon chatas. Standard carbon chatas is either a kifsa or a se'ira, a female goat or female sheep. For the Kohen Gadol, if he sins, he brings a bull. Par ben bakar tamim la'ashem chatas. If the king sins, he brings a se'ir, a male goat. Okay? So they have special components that are brought. Obviously, numerous questions that could be asked, various permutations about these particular kabanos. Second parak of Horios discusses that very point. Let's start the Mishnah. Harikoy Mashiach la'atzmo shogeg va'asah shogeg may be par. The Kohen Gadol, interestingly, is like Beis Din. You're going to see many comparisons that we're going to make between the Kohen Gadol and Beis Din. Primarily, what do we say about the Par Halam Davar of Beis Din? There has to be a horah, there has to be a ruling. And then the people have to follow the ruling. So by the Kohen Gadol, almost identical, almost. That the Kohen Gadol has to give a horah, and he has to follow his own horah. Now the big difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Beis Din is that for the Beis Din, it's not Beis Din that has to follow the horah, it's the people that have to follow the horah. When it comes to the Kohen Gadol, he comes out with a psak and he has to follow his own psak. Okay.
How can Kohen Gadol come with a psak? I mean, only Beit Din, no? Kohen Gadol only follows Beit Din.
It's a carbon related psak? It's like a Kohen related psak?
No. Does it have to be? No. Not necessarily. Not limited to it.
Shabbos?
Right. So the Gemara is going to discuss it, but And sure, the Gemara is going to tell us that the Kohen was the most outstanding Talmid Chacham of his day. And so people went to the Kohen Gadol and they asked him, what do you think the halacha is? And he can give a psak. You're right. In other words, it's not... It's,
you have a function, you have an entity, which is Beit Din, who's doing all this. So how could they be...
How can they bypass Beit Din? It's a pretty good question. It's pretty fundamental. But the Gemara is going to tell us that this particular Kohen... If this Kohen Gadol is not a Talmid Chacham, Gemara is going to tell us this later on. What he says is not a horah. It's not a psak.
Right. Even if he's Talmid Chacham, he has to go to Beit Din.
Well, the concept...
You have to go to Beit Din for every question.
Right. Correct. And the concept which we've seen earlier is the concept of mufla, meaning that there is sometimes in history where it's unilaterally understood that that's the guy, that's the man we turn to. Over the generations, we've seen that. Okay? So, Harikar Mashiach La'atmo Shogeg Va'asa Shogeg.
So, one more question.
Yeah.
could God exist without Beit Din? I mean, if you have to have Beit Din, for Kohen Gadol to function and be a Kohen Gadol, not Mufta Kohen Gadol.
Just to be a Kohen Gadol.
You have to have a Beit Din. We have to have a Sanhedrin. Can you have a Kohen Gadol without Sanhedrin?
I would suggest yes.
Sanhedrin's not involved.
Right? Right?
No, in terms of to have a Beit HaMikdash, and if you have a Kohen Gadol, you have to have a Beit HaMikdash, right?
Yeah, yeah. I understand. Let's I'm available after. Okay, let's move. Harikon Mashiach La'atzma Shogig V'asa Shogig Mevi Par. Okay? So, the Mishnah starts off with the most basic definition of when Kohen Gadol would bring the par. So number one says the Mishnah, he has to come out with a Horah, he has to come out with a ruling, and he needs to follow his own ruling. Obviously both B'Shogig. Meaning, remember, this is still a Karban Chatas. The entire Masechta, the entire Perek Dala Vayikra, is all in the world of Chatas, which means Shogig. Right? No, nothing was intentionally done wrong over here. His ruling was erroneous, it was incorrect. And the following of his ruling, obviously, was just an extension of his incorrect ruling, his erroneous ruling. Shogig Vasa Mezid, Mezid Vasa Shogig Pater. If, however, his ruling was Shogig, and afterwards he said, oh, what a mistake I made. Oh, such a bad ruling, but I'm going to follow it anyway. Right? So, you don't, obviously, not eligible to bring a Karban Chatos anymore. Or, the other way around. Mezid, let's say when he ruled incorrectly, he knows he ruled incorrectly, and it wasn't an erroneous ruling. It was just a wanton, deliberate ruling. Look, I know it's strange, but we talked about that in the context of Beis Din. So if you were unhappy with that, with Beis Din, right, giving a deliberate, incorrect ruling, so same thing with the Kohen Gadol as well. So, Mezid Vasa Shogeg Pater, Sha'araz Kohen Mashiach La'atmo, Kohoraz Beis Din L'tzipor. So the Mishnah, without giving any sources, because that's not the job of the Mishnah, Mishnayos do not do that, the Mishnayos just simply tell us that in this regard, Kohen Gadol is like Beis Din, where there needs to be a Horah. Good. Shogeg Vasa Shogeg Mevi Par Pshita, the Gemara says, well, the first point of the Mishnah, isn't that obvious? Gemara gives an interesting chiddush in the Mishnah. Let's say he came out with he issued a ruling, again erroneous, right? Not intentionally. He didn't mean to get it wrong. He just got it wrong, but, right? It was the shogeg, and he had logic behind it, obviously. And then when he did it, he remembered his ruling. He just forgot what the logic was behind it. And maybe, the Gemara suggests, look, if at the time when he did it, if he not only remembered his ruling, but if he would have remembered the reason also, and then he would have said to himself, oh, that's not right. That's not logical. And therefore, if he would have remembered it, maybe we should treat him like a mazid now. Because he would have corrected himself. Kamash Malan. I'm sorry. Dami Velo Lachayev, Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush is no. That at the time when he does the action, all he needs to do is just remember the Horah, the actual Psak. The nuts and bolts behind the Psak, he doesn't need to remember at the time when he does it. Right? That's still considered Shogeg. Okay. Mezid Vasa Shogeg Manahanimila Ditan Rabban. So here we go. And now the Gemara is going to do, is going to go to Quarter Braisa. And the Brice is going to do what the Mishnah did not do, and that is give us the psukim and the drasha behind this halacha, that for the Kohen Gadol, you need a hora'ah. So, Dan Rabban, we learned in the Brice, Hare Mashiach Kitzibur. In the Kohen Gadol, it says La Ashmas Ha'am. Thank you. Right in the beginning. I'm sorry. In Kohen Mashiach Yecheta, if the Kohen Gadol sins La Ashmas Ha'am, to the guilt of the people. Look, those two words are very strange. Right? His sin has nothing to do with the people. It's his sin. It's his chait. So what's the Ashmas Ha'am coming to tell us? So the Gemara, this is a deduction. So the Gemara is the Tanur Rabban L'Ashmas Ha'am Hare Mashiach Kit Sibor. He's like the Sibor. V'halo Dinhu. So the Gemara says, look, even without the Pasuk, we could have made the following argument. Sibor Mutsa Mechlal Yachid. Look, they're both exceptions to the general rule. Both the parhelam davar, the communal offering, and the kohen gadol. So the Gemara says, can't you make the following argument? They're both exceptions to the rule, so therefore maybe they both need a hora without the drasha. The Gemara says, not necessarily, oklach l'derek zu. Because really, you could have gone this way. Nasi mutzamechlal yachin mashiach or mashiach mutzamechlal yachin ma nasi maybe b'shigas ma'isa below halam davar af mashiach maybe b'shigas ma'isa below halam davar. So the Gemara says, look, in Perek Daled, we also talk about the king. The king doesn't have hora'a. There's no psak by the king. We'll talk about that later. How we know that? So if the king doesn't have hora'a, the Kohen Gadol also doesn't have hora'a. So nir lamidame Kohen Gadol. More like the Beis Din or more like the king? Kamar says, Tzibur b'parve eim evi'in ha'ashem talu, Mashiach b'parve eim evi'im ha'ashem talu'i. Look, I can show you common denominators between king and Beis Din. So king, sorry, I didn't mean king. Between Kohen Gadol and Beis Din. Kohen Gadol is bull. Community is bull. Kohen Gadol doesn't bring an Hashem Talui. Neither does the community. So Matzibra Nechayv al Halam Davar Im Shigas Maisa Af Mashiach Lo Yehei Chayav El Al Halam Davar Im Shigas Maisa. Okay, good. So that's why you can compare it to a community, to the Beis Din. O Klach LeDerech Zu. Or the Gemara says, maybe you can go in this direction. Nasi maybe Si'ira Bavarz Kochavim maybe Hashem Vadai O Mashiach maybe Si'ira Bavarz Kochavim maybe Hashem Vadai. Af manasi maybe b'shigas ma'isa, af mashiach maybe b'shigas ma'isa. So look, there are other ways in which the Kohen Gadol is more like the king. Specifically, says the Gemara, the female goat by avodah zarah, and specifically by the karban hashem. You don't have that by the Beis Din, neither by the Beis Din. Tamalam l'ashmasa am. That's why, in other words. If I was left to logic, I don't know which way to go. I don't know if the Kohen Gadol is more like Beis Din or more like the king. Therefore, says the Gemara, Ashmas Ha'am, I have the pasuk. Harehu Mashiach Kitzibur. Matzibur Inamevi Ela Halam Davar Im Shigas Maisa. Af Mashiach Inamevi Ela Halam Davar Im Shigas Maisa. Just two more minutes. Let's just get to the Mishnah. Ema Matzibur Horev Asu Acharab Arasu Chayavin. Av Mashiach Kishahorev Asu Acharab Arasu Yechayev. Good. Now the Gemara asks such a basic question. Well, I know by Beis Din comes out with the Psak. The people follow the Psak. Shouldn't I say the same thing by the Kohen Gadol? He comes out with the Psak and the people follow the Psak. Tamalomar Veikriv Al Chataso Asher Chata. Amashechet Humevi Veimevi Amashechatu Acherim. Now the pasuk tells us very clearly the Kohen brings the carbon for his action, not for others' actions. So in one respect, he's like the Beis Din, where he needs to be a hora'a, but unlike the Beis Din, he needs to be the violator of his own ruling. Amar Mar Mashiach b'par ve'emi v'ashem ashem talui menali de'emi v'emi ashem talui. How do I know that there's no ashem talui by the Kohen Gadol? Right? Strange. The Gemara says, you know why he doesn't bring an Hashem Talui? Because he's like Beis Din. Oh. And Beis Din doesn't bring an Hashem Talui, neither does a Kohen Gadol bring an Hashem Talui. Good. The Gemara says, just structurally, that's a little bit strange. Ad kan lo kamar le. Wait a second. In the Braisa, Ashmas Ha'am was the punchline. So how can you bring up Ashmas Ha'am earlier in the Braisa when the Ashmas Ha'am phrase of the Torah becomes the punchline? Ela Asham Kedei Naspa. The Gemara says, you're right. Point well taken. The Asham Talui came along for the ride, but you're right. That wasn't really the key issue in the Braisa, the comparison of, just like Beis Din doesn't bring the Asham Talui, neither does the Kohen Gadol. That only came along for the ride. But the real comparison between the two of them was not the Asham Talui. Okay, good. Okay, so far we started the second parak this morning, and the chief halacha that we've learned out so far is that by the Kohen Gadol, he brings his special karban chatas only with a hora'ah, only at first he has to rule, just like Beis Din.